Welcome to the Social Workers Radio Talk Show. I'm your co-host, Alyssa Lotmore. Today is somewhat of a unique segment as we discuss why social workers need to be media savvy and involved in legislative advocacy. Let's begin with a short clip from when guest Samantha Howell appeared on our show.
As I said at the top of the show, one of the most important things that I think we have, one of the most important obligations we have as citizens, as humans, as social workers, as professionals, as neighbors, is to engage, to advocate, to use our voice to make things better. And it's one thing to do that sitting in a room with a client. It's one thing to do that sitting in a room developing policy. It's another thing to go and have a face-to-face with the person who's going to be revising that policy. It impacts everybody, like even the clinical social workers. You know, when you're talking about Medicaid reimbursements, when you're talking about scope of practice, these are policies. The things that you can do as a clinical social worker are set out by your legislators. And so it's very important that everybody be involved and engaged in this process. You know, one of the great things about doing advocacy, and this has been borne out by surveys of federal staff, is the most effective way to convince an undecided member of a legislature what to do is a face-to-face meeting. Policy happens year-round. We get really excited during legislative session because it's a really exciting time. So January to June, especially January to March, because it's the budget legislation, and so it's really exciting for us. But legislation happens year-round. So letters to the editor, letters to your representatives, meet your representatives at their district office. Just try to set up a meeting with them in the Albany. I mean, if you're here in Albany, go to their Albany office. The first thing to do is face-to-face meetings. If you can't do that, call. If you can't do that, email. Do not fax. They hate that. But try to set up face-to-face meetings. Get on a first-name basis with your legislator. You should know who they are. I live in a Breslin, Fahey, Tonko district. I know all of my representatives by name. They know most of me by face. And I think that's important. Look at running for office, be that local or other. And it could be anything small. Look at your library boards, your local school boards, your local water district boards. You can run for policy for office and influence policy that has really big impact in your communities. Do postcard writing campaigns. Some people do like sign and sips where they have wine and write postcards to their legislators with a bunch of friends. Come up with ways. It's really easy to get involved. You have to actually try pretty hard not to. It's really easy. The easiest way is letters to the editor. But I was actually just at Mercy College yesterday, and a student asked a very similar question, like, how do we do this? How do you do advocacy? And, my advice basically is, the one thing that we all have are our words, our voice. And for me, my experience coming from Kentucky, coming from the South, is that when I've come across adversity, when I've come across people who disagree with me, who have fundamentally different worldviews, the most effective way for me to make change is to sit and have a conversation. And so do that with your legislator, do that with your news editor, do that with the paper, do that. Think about how you can use your voice to change minds, and then do that. And there's a lot of different ways to do that, but at the end of the day, use your voice and find a way to use that in a way that's effective.
Change is a word we hear often in the field of social work. As social workers, we function as agents of change in society. We strive to make change occur at the micro, meso, and macro levels. We work together with individuals, families, communities, and society at large to make change happen. As social workers, we may envision our ideal progression for that change, but where and how do we start? There are many current social issues that need to be addressed. Health disparities, bullying, homelessness, elder care, and substance abuse are just a few. As social workers, we are not only very familiar with these areas, but we are also well prepared to foster and frame a meaningful dialogue on how to address these social issues with the general public. Media outlets and public platforms offer social workers an excellent medium to discuss social matters that we're passionate about and suggest strategies on how to address them. Through these venues, we can reach vast audiences and offer information, resources, empathy, and hope. At times, we may wonder if we have the appropriate expertise or if we are qualified to raise awareness about social issues in a public manner. Expertise has a way to creep up on us. Through our practice, supervision, and continuing education, we acquire an array of knowledge and mastery that can facilitate individual, community, and social change. As social workers, we are routinely eager to engage with individuals, families, groups, and communities. We help meet emergency needs and address crises and problems in human relationships. We network and connect others to services and resources. And we advocate for human rights, equality, and social justice. We engage in social and political action to impact social policy and economic development. And as change agents, we have the appropriate knowledge and expertise. It is now a matter of selecting the right tools to share that information in an engaging, clear, and concise manner with the public. We can choose from a number of tools to share our expertise. These include writing articles and op-eds, giving talks and demonstrations, developing blogs or websites, participating in conference panels, volunteering our services to show our expertise, contacting local mainstream media sources, especially if the social issue is a current, you know, quote unquote hot topic, and creating our own podcasts. We can gain more comfort speaking publicly or writing about these critical issues. And we can develop a type of communicator's toolbox that helps us communicate more effectively with the public. How then do we differentiate ourselves from the many others who are also trying to raise awareness and sometimes funds to support a certain cause? How do we interest people in a social issue that they may not be familiar with or think that it does not relate to them? Finding a connection through a compelling story could be a start. Linking a personal story and a face to a statistic and highlighting how a given social issue has a ripple effect that extends beyond one individual or population can help build a connection with the larger audience. These can also help increase awareness of the social issue. Through connection and awareness, a higher level of engagement can be reached, creating a stronger movement towards social change. That's my summary of what I've learned over the years. We have had a number of guests on the show to discuss different types of advocacy, from using social media, writing articles in the newspaper, to running for office. Up next, we're going to play one of our archive shows where our topic was media advocacy. We feel that this topic is something that's very important in the social work profession, as we want social workers to be the media and engage the media in the hopes of making change. We hope you enjoy this segment and that this whole episode gives a good summary of how social workers can view the public as client and reach individuals who might never have considered seeing or using a social worker.
You're listening to The Social Workers on WCDB Albany.
And welcome back to the Social Workers live radio show here at the University at Albany. My name is Eric Hardiman, and I'm your co-host this morning with Alyssa Lotmore. Welcome back, Alyssa.
Eric, I'm great to be here.
We are excited to have a really great show today. We have with us live in the studio Joe Bonilla. Joe is the managing partner, senior media director, and co-founder of Relentless. Recognized as a leading communications professional in the Northeast, major brands, companies, organizations, and public figures rely on Joe's counsel and insight in moving their message forward with impressive results. From bringing ride sharing to upstate New York and Long Island, promoting the burgeoning craft beverage industry, working with rising leaders at the local, state, and federal level, and lifting startup thrifts to Fortune 500 companies into the public conversation, Bonilla works tirelessly to enhance and advocate for each relentless client. Boy, that's quite an intro.
It is a little bit, right?
Welcome back, Joe. The other thing that's really exciting is that you are a return guest to the Social Worker Show, and we're thrilled to have you back. Welcome back to the studio.
I'm thrilled to be here. It's so wonderful to be back here at CDB and certainly back on the Social Workers.
Because you forgot one of the most important things, Eric, that he used to have a show on WCDB. So
WCDB alum. That's right. How could I forget? Welcome back to the studio.
That's right. Well, again, we were in the other studio in the CDB here. We had Joe and Jackie in the morning, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 11. It was a wonderful show. Jackie showed up there half the time. I still was there, so it was fun.
Great. So we're here today, and we're going to be talking to you about the use of media and about how media relates to social work practice and how people can start to think about the media and, and using the media to advance public good.
Sure.
Well, one of the NASW theme this year for Social Work Month is to elevate social work. And one of the reasons that I was really glad that Joe was going to be on today is because how do we elevate our profession? How do we let people know who we are and what we do and to share that social work message? So to have someone who has an expertise in the media is a great thing. So let's just jump into our first question. Joe, so you are a UAlbany alum, and you started your own communications PR firm, A Relentless Awareness, while you were still in your 20s. Give us some background information about this process and how you developed the skills to take on such a huge task.
Oh, my Lord, that's such a loaded question. You know, I went to UAlbany, you know, graduated with a degree in public policy and community relations through Rockefeller College, and when I got out of UAlbany, I was given two job offers. One was to work as a campaign manager down in Virginia for a state senate race, and the other was to work for a PR firm up in Saratoga Springs. So I decided, well, if I do the campaign, and I've worked in a lot of campaigns on all different aspects, and I was like, I know that world. But if I do the campaign, it'll only be run for maybe 3 to 4 months, and that'll be that. So I decided to work for the PR firm. And let me tell you, it was the worst job I ever had in my life. But it really gave me a lot of insight in terms of how other agencies ran. And we had a boutique agency up in Saratoga Springs. We worked with clients, not so much in the area, but in the Bay Area, in Israel, in Holland, primarily in tech issues. But the key was how we were able to communicate all these different issues from right here in the capital region to the rest of the world. And so after leaving that fun-filled place, I'll put that in quotes, I did freelance work, and the key was really getting my name out there. So going to events, networking, finding out who knows who. And yeah, over time, I'm applying for places. I'm thinking I'm awesome. Employers are like, you're not that awesome. Never really get that many callbacks. And with a good friend of mine, Rich Fazio, we decided to do our own firm. And you know, some of my family members were a little, they were supportive, but certainly concerned. I knew, at least I knew, and then Rich was able to back me up on it, that we could do something that was different. An agency that cared about the community, but also had a more aggressive stance in terms of how we would work with our clients. So we formed the agency 7 years ago last month. It was a very much a bootstrap operation. We had $200 that pretty much covered the filing fee. We had Class D office space in the top of a historic building in downtown Albany. And today we have about 40 accounts ranging from this region to New York City to the Beltway, South Florida, California, working in all sorts of areas from manufacturing to craft beverages to transportation, nonprofits, you know, and still campaigns. And obviously, how do we move a message forward, and how do we get your name or your product or your initiative as part of the public conversation? When I refer to the public conversation, I'm not just referring to what people are talking about on social media. It's much more cumulative of that. It's about what people are talking about in a coffee shop or a bar or in the classroom. You know, therefore, you're able to sense what is that fabric of what's happening in a community. We saw that with ride sharing. We saw, no matter, even though we were very instrumental with that, along with a lot of different individuals and advocates, we saw that no matter where I went, people were talking about, I wish that this was here in this region, whether it was in Buffalo, Elmira, Albany, down in Rockland, it made no difference. But we knew that we were doing our job because people were talking about it. And so how do you get, and how do you distill down a message so therefore somebody, no matter where they are in their life, that they understand what you're trying to get across? And that's what we've successfully been able to do here at Relentless.
Well, that's perfect, because one of our things here on the social workers and in general that we like to talk about is the public as client. How do we get people who never considered seeing or using a social worker? How do we get them to understand who we are and what we do? So advocacy is a big part of what we do as social workers. And you work with journalists, reporters, and politicians. You could probably write a book on how to navigate
perhaps,
the media.
Perhaps.
But can you give us some ideas as to how social workers can be more media savvy and raise awareness about issues that we care about that may not be as popular or relatable to the general public, such as, you know, foster care maybe, or HIV awareness, just different things that might not be the typical conversation at a coffee shop? How do we get people talking about it and to sort of care about this these topics?
Certainly. And I think one thing that folks never realize that everybody's their own personal advocate for what they are, you know, what's near and dear to them. And so how do you distill that down so therefore nobody, therefore anybody that you want to talk to can really understand that message? You know, one big part of it too, especially if you want to become media savvy, is obviously be able to distill down your message so therefore people can understand it no matter where you are. One of the issues that we worked on, for example, was trying to legalize alcohol in New York's movie theaters. And there's a whole long laundry list of how that whole law works, right? But if I distill it down and say, well, pretty much the law right now is if people are on the stage, you can have a beverage. If people are on the screen, you can't. That's very simple. And so when you look at things like that and how you're able to distill a message down that way, that's the first step. The second part is being a resource for reporters, editors, writers, and therefore if there's an issue that affects them, whether it's at the local, state, or federal level, you can be that resource for a reporter and a media source for that. There's constantly always times where, you know, we may not even have a client in that industry where a reporter will ask me, do you know so-and-so over there in that organization or that nonprofit? Because we need an expert in that field. And that's really how you're able to get that initial media savvy. And then once you've been established, then they will come directly to you. But you need to be able to establish those points of connectivity in terms of your own personal network. I cannot stress enough what it means to network, 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 not just obviously within your field, especially if it's social work, but obviously those who can actually help advance your cause forward as well.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges, and maybe you can respond and speak to this a little bit for social workers, is that social workers are very pragmatic. They're doers. They are people who are action-oriented,
sure.
And whether that means helping individuals or helping a family, helping a community, it means, you know, there's a reason that the word work is in social
right.
work. It's a very roll your sleeves up, you know, boots on the ground.
Absolutely.
Be doing the work. And so for some in the social work profession, historically, I think there's been some maybe misunderstanding, but also some fear around what it means to engage in marketing and promotion. Those two words can be a little frightening to social workers because social workers are busy doing.
Sure.
They're busy actually trying to change things. And so the idea of marketing an idea, promoting a cause, advocating publicly as part of the public conversation, as you put it, for some social workers, doesn't feel natural.
Yeah, it's interesting because you gave me right there the word I wanted to use, because I think the words marketing and advertising and PR and, of course, spin, you know, and I've been called the spin doctor before, which is fun. But, you know, really, you can then flip it and say, well, you're advocating for your cause, you're advocating for your organization. And what I always talk to our public affairs clients is the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. You know, who basically, if you are the loudest in the room, you're going to be the one that will get funding for your organization, that you will get the legislation you need. But certainly for social work, because you guys are, you're tireless, you're hard worker, you're aggressive, you are relentless. I had to throw it in there. And you obviously have to be able to push that agenda forward. And you know, you have to be able to talk to stakeholders and decision makers about what it means and why it's important to you. And you are your best advocate. And so I wouldn't even look at it as marketing or that. It's your personal brand. It's your personal advocacy. And how can you effectively move that message forward so therefore you're able to get the change that you seek in your community?
Okay. So it sounds like your perspective then is that it's a very change-oriented mission that maybe social workers, if they're end goal is to create change and create space for change that then they could think about the media differently.
Yeah.
And think about the conversation.
And I think part of it too is that, you know, social workers do so much work on the ground, which is fantastic. But obviously, you also need that 30,000 foot in the air approach as well. And then that's where the media comes into play. That's where stakeholders come into play. So if you're able to also make them and convert them over to also surrogate advocates for your cause, then you're doing your job as well, and you're still able to move that forward.
So where do we start? So we have social workers who are sometimes portrayed negatively in the media, especially when there's a storyline with something like CPS, with Child Protective, or things like that. People automatically have this negative view of social workers, and we're trying to change that. Our profession's trying to change that. Like I said, the NASW Social Work Month theme is to elevate social work. What are some tips you have? You know, I know you said networking, but what else can we do to use the media? How do we, after we make connections, what are some ways we can navigate having people understand who we are and what we do?
Well, positivity is always the best disinfectant to negative attention. And what I mean by that is a lot of times you have from Hollywood and from other sources, you have this negative portrayal of a lot of industries and a lot of different fields, especially social work. But the first way, and I it's funny you say that because I had saw a movie recently, and there was a portrayal of asthma. I'm asthmatic, right? And it was just so totally wrong. Nobody who has asthma would ever go through what that kid went through in this one particular movie. I won't say what the movie was, because I can't think of it right now. But more importantly, it's how do you showcase those stories of positivity about the wonderful work that social workers do in a neighborhood or in a city or as part of an institution. And you have to get those stories out there. And again, as I said earlier, it's about being a resource for media. So when you get an opportunity to talk about or comment on an issue, bring up a positive story of where a social worker did, you know, extraordinary help in a situation where it helped a family or a community or an institution. You have to be able to talk about that in a way that's positive and not really harp on the negative. Accentuate the positive, as right. I would say.
But you also bring up something in accentuating the positive. It sounds like a story-based approach, bringing a human element to this, and maybe that social workers can think about particular situations where they've helped or that they care about issues that they that matter to them, that bringing a human element to that really makes a difference in the 30,000 foot conversation.
Right. And it's again, going back to distilling down the message, but also creating that narrative, which is key. And obviously, you want to control a narrative. You never want somebody else to define the narrative for you. And oftentimes, you have folks that will try to do that. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where you have to be able to do your best in that regard.
Well, it goes in. There was a poet who said something like, if you don't tell your story, somebody else will, and they'll tell it wrong. So that kind of ties into that. And to add into faculty research, because a lot of our social workers in the field are experts, but on the news you usually see psychologists or psychiatrists, that also can tie into our faculty researchers, being able to put themselves out there in a new way and share their information, share their expertise. But I think that's something that's lacking as well. Sometimes social workers are doing a lot of research, but it's kind of hidden in a way because it's not as pushed out there as the research maybe by a psychiatrist or somebody else in the profession. So what are some strategies for that?
So there's two things there. So one obviously would be the direct source for a reporter. The other thing is if you see a story that is worthwhile to comment on or that you can provide some insight on, reach out to that reporter, reach out to that assignment desk and let them know that you actually, you know, you're an expert in this field and you have some comments and some meaningful insight that can actually help change stories. So then there very well could be a follow-up to that original story, which can include, you know, meaningful facts and figures and that narrative that will move things forward. And that's something where I always say, like, don't be afraid to reach out to a reporter, an editor, a writer, whoever it could be, because you never know what stories could come through, what they're working on, because there might be some sort of connectivity there. And plus, they might think, based upon that conversation with you, there might be a story worthwhile to tell there as well. So again, it keeps on going back to network, 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 but also distilling down your message so therefore they understand. A lot of times too, just as a key follow-up, you know, folks always focus on TV reporters and radio reporters and things like that. you know, the ones that you really want to focus on are those who are newspaper reporters and those who are actually engaged in long-form, meaningful journalism as well, because they will actually have the time and the insight and the research capabilities to actually basically follow up from that as well.
Sure. Let me ask a follow-up. So you mentioned long-form journalism.
Yes.
The opposite is quite popular these days.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
Forgotten the number of characters, but the tweets.
The 280 characters,
the Twitter
age.
And 280 characters, right. So that seems to be the era, particularly in this day and age, politically and socially in our country, in our world. I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about, maybe not Twitter specifically, but just about the idea of short-form public conversation and
sure.
What is the role that has to play?
Well, that goes back to distilling down the message, because, yes, you are absolutely right. We are. It used to be that we were in a 24-hour news cycle, and then we were in the 140-character news cycle, and now it's 280. So, but, you know, the attention span of just obviously consumers of media, but also of media professionals themselves, has been so tight. Where they really can't really dive deep into an issue or a cause or whatever could be a concern. So you have to be able to really tell that story in a very tight way. And, you know, the only way to do it is really break it down into a way where, you know, almost like the way you would try to tell somebody who, like, it's from a different planet. Mm. Break it down that simply and then expound beyond that. A lot of people get so, you know, messed up into the facts and, like, in terms of, like, that the details too much, and you really have to be able to distill it down beyond that.
So social workers, we can be the media and engage the media through our own social media accounts, correct?
Absolutely. It's one of the best ways. And again, you are your own personal advocates, and use in a positive way, obviously, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, tell that story. I mean, that you are your best advocates. You are your best brand representatives in that way.
And maybe, you know, part of the implication here is that how those narratives are shared and how those stories are told varies according to the medium. So if you're talking to a long-form journalist, there are, you know, the importance of facts and the importance of an arc to a narrative,
right,
versus if you're doing a tweet that or a
right.
Facebook post or an Instagram.
And know your audience there. If right. you have somebody who's a reporter or someone who's a professional and they have the time to listen to the full narrative, give them still the distilled message first, but then expound further beyond that. If this person is trying to put together a story for the 6 o'clock news, give them the distilled message and therefore get your message out there. The worst thing that can ever happen is if you talk to a TV reporter and you give them this, that, and the other, they may only take a portion that you do not want. So you want to make sure you are distilling down the message to what you want to be heard.
So what advice do you have to students? You know, this is a student-run radio station. I mean, students in any type of field, whether it's social work or business or communications, journalism, what advice do you have them as they're getting ready to graduate, to if they want to start being able to be a better communicator, a better person to create their own brand?
Well, what better way than to start right now? And obviously, you know, look at what you're doing on social media. Look at what you want to be and who you want to be. If you are on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat and you're, you know, just posting up things about different parties you're going to or what have you, that's not going to really advance your own personal brands. Think about how you want to be portrayed to an employer, for a cause, or something that's important to you. And really be proud of what you're going to be able to post out there. You know, that's the first step of it. And then, of course, maintain contact with folks here at school, but also those that you work with. You know, a lot of times, and most of my business is based upon referral or folks that I know. I would never be where I am right now if I did not maintain contact with folks I've known 5, 10, even 20 years ago. That's the key of what it means to really network and really to use your entire network to advance yourself.
So if you're just tuning in, I want to remind listeners who we're listening to, this is the Social Workers Live Radio Talk Show, and we have as our special guest, who's been answering some questions and having a wonderful conversation here, Joe Bonilla. And Joe's a graduate of UAlbany, a graduate of the Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy. He's been recognized by the Hispanic Coalition of New York, recognized by the Albany Business Review, the City and State Magazine, and all sorts of awards and all sorts of recognitions that you've received. You're also a regular panelist on WAMC's roundtable.
That's right.
Conversation show.
Yeah, and I'll just even say, like, that was just me reaching out. Yeah. You know, because it was a year and a half ago, and of course I loved what I did here at CDB, and then also for the other campus media organization that I wanted to get back into it. And all I did was reached out. I did exactly what I have recommended folks here to do. Basically, reach out, use your network, and advance yourself.
So you're also a really what I see as a shining example of a graduate of UAlbany who has embraced entrepreneurialism and taken your career into your own hands and really built something of your own. Which I think can be an inspiring story for our graduates, and we led off with that sort of telling about
sure.
how you started Relentless. You know, I wonder, again, maybe along the lines of Alyssa's question about preparing graduates, and there's a class of UAlbany students who are getting ready to graduate
sure.
today, and, you know, I wonder if you have thoughts about that, about entrepreneurialism and maybe what they can do
sure.
if they have ideas but aren't quite sure how to make those ideas into reality.
I would say, and I would recommend to all graduates, and certainly those who are out there, don't be afraid to fail. When I left the firm I worked for in Saratoga Springs, I was so happy to leave. And I went down to Northway. I'm like, yes, I'm at a terrible place. And I got back to my house. And I just curled into bed. I thought I was a failure because I had folks who had recommended me for the job and things like that. But the next day, I had to get back up and say, well, you know what? That was then. This is now. I want to move forward. And I had to really rethink what I wanted to do for myself. And I had to just use my network. I had to really think about the skills I had and really to hone those skills in. And I had to at least make that own course for myself. I had to, you know, create that own pathway for myself. So I would recommend for folks, you know, don't be afraid if you, you know, that first job that you get out of school is not the best. You know what? There are other opportunities, or you have to create your own opportunity. You know, when folks use the term entrepreneurial, it doesn't need to be that you're creating your own business, but yet you're being entrepreneurial in your own pursuits. And that can go for social work, that can go for any field, that you are doing the best you can to brand yourself in a meaningful way. So therefore, you can chart that destiny that you want for yourself.
And I'm glad you brought social work back into it, because on the Social Workers, we like to talk about social work practice and social work issues related to the social work profession. Social enterprise, social entrepreneurialism, and some of those ideas, even around social capital and building social capital
right.
within communities, are relatively newer terms in social work. Those are
yeah.
areas that social
yeah.
work
yeah,
is
yeah,
starting
yeah.
to get into. But a lot of social workers they're not quite sure how to embrace that, what social enterprise means, and how do we marry the ideas, you know, the more traditional values of social work with the values in the business community and in commerce.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's all interconnected. Obviously, the work that I do for our clients, there's always a, you know, community improvement aspect to it. You know, we always encourage our clients to give back, not just financially, but like give back your soul and give back where you can. You know, and certainly something that's within your own mission. You know, for example, we just had a client that just launched a clothing drive right now in February, because, you know, folks always think about, well, you know, clothing drives and food drives are done in the holiday season, but what about the other 10 months of the year?
Yeah.
And so we were able to push them to do that. They loved doing it. It worked in with their brand, and they had the resources to do it. And it's one of those things where we're able to tie in things that are important to us as an agency, but also with our clients. So there's always that social good component that you have to have. And I think folks and consumers and folks in general are looking for that in the brands and companies that they want to be affiliated with.
Well, this is really good information. I'm thrilled that you came on today. And is there anything that you'd like to leave us with? I mean, you've covered a lot of different topics today, or not topics, but a lot of different points in this important topic on how social workers can be more media savvy. But is there anything that you'd like to leave us with? Maybe something a little more fun about your adventures.
Oh boy.
To where you are now.
It's been fun, and you have to enjoy the ride. You know, there are going to be those pitfalls, there are going to be those successes, there are going to be those days where you really don't even want to do anything because you feel that you might be a failure that day, but you know what, keep on going. You know, just keep on rocking it out. You know, and that's the thing, is no matter what you do, if you put your mind to it, wonderful things will happen, and you have to really just believe in yourself. I have a wonderful team at Relentless, and I've been blessed to have, you know, great partners and great clients as well. But it's taken a long time to do that. So you want to make sure that, you know, again, out of the gate, it might be a little rocky, but you will get there, and you have to believe in yourself for that.
And the name Relentless itself, I mean,
oh, yeah.
that's important, not yeah. stopping and not
that's it.
Not giving up.
Yeah, and that was our mission because we knew when we started off that we couldn't stop. I mean, again, it was myself and Rich, and we had that lovely attic office in the building in downtown Albany, and we knew that if we wanted to become a success, we could not stop. You know, we could not rest on our laurels because we knew that there was no bottom. And that will instill a different sort of good fear in you to obviously keep on moving forward, that inspiration to keep on moving forward, because you knew that if you stopped, it wouldn't be worthwhile for you. So you have to just keep on going. And again, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You always will. You're human. You'll make mistakes. But the key is what you will learn from those mistakes.
Great. Let me put you on the spot with a final question.
Oh, no.
I want to ask about the future.
Uh-oh.
So you've made such a huge difference in the Albany area, and certainly as an alum of the school, as an alum of the radio station here at WCDB, but just as a member of the community here in the Capital District of New York, what do you see in 5 years, 10 years for you? What's the next big...
For me personally?
Yeah, for you personally.
Oh, boy. You know, I guess for me, it's really just being content, you know, and being content in a good way. I love what I do every day. I love the people I work with, and I love the work that we achieve. But certainly there's some aspects that I would love to, you know, get into. You know, one of my first loves is journalism. And, you know, one of the things that was, you know, very sad to see, and they were good friends of mine, they are still good friends, was, you know, the unfortunate closure of All Over Albany. Mm-hmm. And this region needs an ultra-local news outlet to tell those stories that have not been told by mainstream media. And so I can see myself maybe perhaps being involved in something like that. But there's all sorts of things that I love to be engaged with. And I think for me, it's really just the expansion of that and really trying to also, you know, see that next generation of who I was. And I always look at that for students that we bring in for our internship program. You know, who is the next me or who is the next, you know, whoever it could be? And what can I do to help them prevent the mistakes I made in the past? So for me, it's like we have a wonderful region here. We have so many different assets and resources here. And it's a great place to live. And I would anticipate for me that we would just keep on doing the same thing we're doing right now and really making that impact upon the greater region.
So if people want to network with you, I'm assuming you're on social media.
I guess I'm on the social medias.
How can they reach you or follow you?
Absolutely. So you can always reach me on Facebook. I'm on there. It's just Joe Bonilla on there. There's LinkedIn. Twitter is Joe_Bonilla. Instagram is the Joe Bonilla. And, of course, feel free. I always encourage this of everybody. Feel free just to give me over just a quick note, and I'll give you my email address. It's just joe@relentlessaware.com. Unfortunately, people always wonder, like, why is it Relentless Aware? We couldn't get relentlessawareness.com 7 years ago, so we had to shorten it down. So that's been the fun thing. But, yeah, never resist the urge to send me over a note or a comment or just a question. I always speak with students and graduates about the job market and ways just to, you know, and network themselves, and I'm always happy to do that for anybody.
We'd love to get you down to the School of Social Welfare and talk to some of the social work students. I think you have a lot to offer them.
I'd be happy to do that.
He did that before, actually, in 2014.
That's right. Five short years ago.
Yeah, so right. he was well-liked.
It's time to
That's
get you
right.
back.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today and helping us to be more media-savvy social workers.
Happy to be here.
You're listening to The Social Workers on WCDB Albany.